This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today is Kevin's birthday.
It is, really, it is Kevin's birthday.
Who has, let's be honest, has aged like a U.S. president while he has been with the Cleveland Browns. Call it what it is, friend.
I was just reading Cleveland Magazine had all the Cleveland celebs in their favorite golf holes.
Wait a minute. Are you 43?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Do you color your hair? Let's be honest.
No.
Here. You
no.
don't color your
hair? I saw a gray one popping
guys,
out on the side the other
guys,
day.
We got You're 43. He just turned 43. Today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Kev. And then we got you. You're going to turn 44.
Yes.
Okay, so you're a year older. You're going to turn 44 on June 13th. Same birthday as the Axeman. Put your grays side by side with his grays. He has aged like a U.S. president. He's always had a little salt and pepper in the beard.
Yeah, I guess what we don't know is, was he dyeing his hair when he first came in, and you just kind of lose interest in doing it over time. You can't get to it as much because some guys go gray very early, very, very early.
I say this, you guys, I know a lot of you guys roll your eyes, and we're going to get back to the Cavs here in a second. We got Ryan Rucco joining us. I'm happy to have Andrew at 9:15. I do like both those guys. I hate when they're bad. I hate that they're bad. I have to call it like it is with the draft picks. The draft picks haven't been that good. I have to call it like it is with some of the faith in the drafting in the past and some of the things about leading the team. I do like Kevin. I do like Andrew. I do wish him a sincere happy birthday. Kevin's a good dude. It always ends bad, and it's going to end bad because that's how it goes in the NFL. And they know that. They're not stupid, but I do wish him a happy birthday. But, boy, he has certainly gotten grayer from the original.
It has been
press conference.
Is he entering year six?
Yeah.
I gotta tell you,
you can hear me typing right now.
A Browns organization and coach being around for 6 years.
Yeah.
If you would have told me that at the beginning, now to be fair, I would have said, "Oh, that means we've been AFC Championship games or whatever." Normally, that's what it takes to sustain a job, you know, in the NFL. Not a lot of guys can hang on. You know, in that capacity. Jason Garrett, he was around a long time and didn't get... Did he ever get to the NFC Championship
game? It's not as bad as I thought it was, but it's still not that good. And Jason Garrett, I thought he did.
He did get to one?
I thought he got to an NFC title game.
Well, against the Packers, maybe?
Yeah.
But 6 years is a long time for any, not just the Browns. In the NFL, the way that league works, you don't get a lot of that anymore.
I think it's you know, people go, what's successful? You're a head coach in the NFL for 6 years. That's a pretty decent run.
In one spot, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent run. Ryan Rucco joining us at 9:22 this morning, ESPN. He's going to be on the call game 3 tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m., Cavaliers, Pacers. Did the NBA admit that the refs lost the game, not the Cavs? 216-474-0092.
This is a great question.
Is this a way to wrap your mind around what happened in game two?
Yeah, so it's a great
question.
Two-minute
report came out. Explain the two-minute report to everybody. Tone!
The only reason I say it's a great question, not just because you asked it, Ken, you ask a slew of great questions.
I do.
Is because after game one,
I'm not a good answer.
I took people to task for saying or acting like the refs were the reason we lost the game. And then I feel bad. Nick in the afternoon was like, I didn't say it was one of my top five reasons they lost the game. And we're done. Save it. We don't need to do the power rank music again and do that again for game two. But I do apologize because I felt in listening to their show and others that people were blaming the refs for the loss in game one. Well, game two, now you got a case, right? You got a case to blame the refs because they came out with a two-minute.
Yeah.
And they literally said those 5 points that the Pacers were able to get shouldn't have counted. They wouldn't have counted. The one would have been a jump ball at midcourt. The one where there was the Neesmith dunk, I believe it was. They said that that should have been a jump ball because of the lane violations.
Yeah.
Now, it is hard. There are lane violations on like 80% of free throws, and it's not enforced, and no one seems to care. And furthermore, if you were at the YMCA, there used to be a good 4-on-4 league that I played in, and there, I don't think there were free throws. But if there were free throws,
you didn't play no blood, no foul?
No, I'm saying there were refs. There were refs involved. So
you had refs in a YMCA?
Oh, yeah. It was a good league. But lane violations, if somebody calls a lane violation in a league where you'd have free throws, what would you say? You'd be like, really? You're calling a lane violation?
Yeah, I would do that, yeah.
You know, same thing with 3 seconds. You got to call 3 seconds?
I was almost thrown out as a coach in church league basketball years ago. Long story.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a foul in the last 2 seconds, right? But if any of these calls had gone the Cavs way, they would have won the game. They 100% would have won the game. But I don't think that absolves all the different mistakes that they made. Because think about how many mistakes in the final minute, and really the last 5 minutes of the game, that the Cavs had to make to lose that game. So that's why I'm still going with, no, the referees did not cost the Cavs the win. They didn't help. They certainly didn't help.
I don't think anybody's going to call up and say it, that they think that the refs lost the game.
Oh, I think there will be.
No, I don't. Because
all right, 216-474-0092.
Prove me wrong. This fan base has been very angry with the Cavs over the last 36 hours. Rightfully so. And I don't think they want to hear anything. Like Nick had said something yesterday about it being a loser mentality of the Cavs not being owed anything in the play. Do we have this clip? Go ahead, play this.
The loser mentality is clinging to the why. What? Why, God? Why? Get your head out of your ass. It's the NBA playoffs. It's hard to win in the NBA playoffs, right? You don't win every game, all right? The Cavs are not entitled to winning a damn thing, and they've got to learn that just as much as we do. But LeBron James isn't walking through that door. In this, it might not be the year for this team to go where we want them to, and that sucks. But just this overreaction of no excuses. Yes, excuses! If Indiana was without three of their six best players, take Miles Turner off, take what's the dumb kids, Mathurin's, and take Nembhard off. They're getting blown out every one of these games by 30 points. So it sucked. It sucked. It sucked. It sucked. It sucked. It was unbearable to watch that game leak the way it did. But to then take it any farther than that, guys, you're 2 games down. Teams do this all the time.
You should feel entitled to win these games. You won 64 games. That's not a loser mentality. That's holding them to a standard. You won 64 regular season games. You should hold them to the standard. You blew the game. You were up 20 in the game. I don't care for how long you're up 20 in the game. Making excuses. I'm not trying to call Nick a loser here. That's a loser mentality. Me making excuses is a loser mentality.
I literally just texted Nick. I said, hey, just so you know, I apologized. The other day, and then you
I'm not trying to call
him a loser.
No, if I thought Nick was a loser, I'd just come out and say Nick's a loser. Nick's not a loser. But sitting there thinking that you can make excuses for a 64-win basketball team, that's a loser mentality. When you're up 20 in that game, I can look at the entire series and say, hey, you had Evan Mobley out. You had Darius Garland out. It wasn't going to go your way. You're up 20 in a game and you lose that game. I don't want to hear none about no injuries. I don't want to hear none about any of that other stuff. And I don't want to hear a damn thing about refs. They were inconsistent on both ends. on Tuesday night. I didn't think that we got jobbed any more than the Indiana Pacers got jobbed. I thought it was both inconsistent. The only issue I have with the playoffs, because you asked me about, Ken, do you like the physical playoffs now? The only issue I have is that late in these games, they do seem to be making it up as they go. Because this stuff in the regular season and in past postseasons, I don't know if a lane violation would have been called, but a lot of the other stuff would have been called. The trying to find a flagrant over the elbow of Donovan Mitchell, I thought was a little bit crazy there, and I'm glad that the refs didn't do that.
Yeah, people wanted a flagrant.
I'm glad that they didn't call it on Donovan in the landing zone, which they very well could have. So it is becoming a wrestling match, but it does seem to be inconsistent, not uneven. But no, there's no excuses for being up 20 and losing a game in the playoffs, for Christ's sake. This isn't Lima's old YMCA league. They're professional basketball players. 216-474-0092. Mike in Cleveland. Hello.
Mike.
Ken.
Hi. Mama,
how are you guys?
Hey. Yeah.
So, guys, we're all from the same basic demographic age range. We came up in a time playing sports where you didn't really ever blame the refs for a game. But in today's age, the technology's evolved. The NFL's done a great job at getting a lot more calls right. These things affect outcomes, and with sports gambling and everything that's on the line now, they got to do better. They're atrocious misses. They do affect the impact, and they do affect and impact the outcome of the game.
Well, this is what plays into it. No, you're right. This is what plays into it. This is why I just like that the NFL, they basically ignore you. They basically say, yeah, I know, whatever, we don't care. Because I don't have to sit there and talk about it 36 hours, and thank you for the call, Mike, 36 hours later. So, yeah, the NFL knows they have to do better. Major League Baseball knows they have to do better. But they don't want to put, especially the NFL, Major League Baseball, they do things during the offseason and try to figure it out. The NFL, I don't think, does its best to put a white-hot spotlight on it. Your calls are different because you've decided to, as a league, let a lot of stuff go. Don't tell me that's not an edict from the league office.
Well, remember,
I'm seeing guys basically put each other in Boston crabs out there, and nothing's being called.
Yeah, Kenny, part of it is some legendary, very, let's just say, confusing officiating during Lakers. I remember the one against Sacramento Kings, an all-timer, where we found out later, like, yeah, the referee, I think Donaghy was involved. So he was on the take. But when it comes, by the way, friend of the show, if had him on, we'll have him on again. Probably should have had him on after that.
I don't know if we should call him a friend of the
show. Oh, he is a great friend of the show. His insight is always appreciated on this show. Somebody that could talk like a referee, but, you know, still be a friend with the gangsters.
So what are you saying?
So
we had Michael Francis on the podcast before.
Right. That's right. I will say the caller says, we got to get better. So I could tell you that every sport has revolutionized their oversight over officiating. They have so many more hours devoted to getting better, to making sure that the referees are educated on everything. They take it more seriously than ever before because of the gambling.
Obviously,
Football, what was the biggest joke you'd always hear about football officials like 20 years ago? Not a full-time job. These guys have other jobs. All right, now they've made it. They've made it a full-time job in the NFL. And they weed out bad officials. You just don't really hear about it. They don't want to publicize it. But they get rid of them. I just think these leagues are impossible to officiate. There was a dunk last night in the Knicks-Celtics game where it was, and they end up calling it a charge. And I'm like, a charge? What? Like, the defensive player just gave up and just stood tall and took a charge, like, last second. How is he not entitled to just go
because
after the basket?
Really,
so it's just impossible.
Shouldn't
I think
make
it's impossible.
These changes, you really shouldn't. If you want legitimacy all the way through or consistency, you don't want to make these changes from regular season to postseason. You make changes during the offseason so they can practice it, so they can understand it, to study it, to understand what they're going to do. But I'm just going from last night's game. I do believe there are situations where human error plays into it, and you can blame the refs. You were up 20 points in the game. You're up by 7 with 40 seconds left, for crying out loud. 47 seconds left, for crying out loud. No, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for the guys on the bench that they were injured. They were injured. That's not an excuse because you were up by so much in that game. It was yours there for the taking, and y'all stood there and waited around for Donovan Mitchell, who they knew that was getting the ball. They all waited around for Donovan Mitchell to make a play. Four guys were scared stiff to win that basketball game the other night. That is not an excuse.
Should the game have been held under protest?
It is not
by the Cavs.
An AAU travel basketball team, the Shooting Stars from Mayfield or whatever it is. Yeah, you know what? That's an excuse. They're kids. They're a little bit nervous about that. Not for grown men. No. Eric on Twitter says, I swear to you here, if Darius doesn't play in the next game, I want him out next year.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
That's where we're at right now.
Well, to talk about that and so much more, someone who's going to be on the call coming up tomorrow, ESPN, 7:30. Ryan Rucco joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ryan, we've gotten a deluge of calls over the last few days saying not only is this team soft, but Darius Garland is soft. Your thoughts, Ryan?
I mean, I think it's hard to call a player soft when you don't know all the details of what they're dealing with, their limitations, what they're feeling, right? And I think, are there times where that's true and somebody has an injury that one player would play through and another wouldn't? Yeah, of course that's true. But I think it's a precarious road to walk on when you don't know that, because – you know, there have been accusations like that in the past where a player is much more hurt than you realize or than, you know, is originally diagnosed. So I always like to steer clear of that unless, you know, you have people inside the organization who are questioning that. And then even that you could take with a little bit of a grain of salt. I don't think anything about what we've seen thus far has indicated that Cleveland is soft. I don't think that that's fair. I think, you know, if you're going to win a championship, if you're going to go to a finals, you're going to have moments of adversity. And I know, you know, Cleveland faced some at the end of the regular season, but there wasn't great stakes at those moments. This is their first real, you know, crisis moment of what has been a charm season. How do they handle it? You know, and, you know, for 47 minutes of game two, I thought they handled it extraordinarily well. And then they obviously had a historically awful final 57 seconds. We'll see how they respond tomorrow night, but I still think they have an excellent chance to win the series.
What did they do wrong in game one?
In game one, what did they do wrong?
Yeah, because game two, it's like, all right, they were up by a bunch, then they lost the game. We went over it like crazy, but I'm like, man, game one, like, how do you lose game one? I can understand game two because everybody was injured.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, well, first of all, I do think just this in general – I think that people have underrated Indiana, you know, and I don't know if there was any of that from the Cavaliers mentally going into that game of not fully appreciating. You know, Indiana has been one of the best teams in the NBA since January 1st. And for all the talk about their struggles on the defensive end, they have not struggled on the defensive end since January 1st. And one thing we have seen from them is their ability to close out games, right? And to come back in games and to have a level of toughness and fortitude in those moments. You know, I thought in game one, it was pretty clear, you know, that they did not want to get Indiana into a bunch of those catch and shoot looks from three, and they were comfortable just switching everything, trying to avoid it. The problem was, especially Tyrese Halliburton really took advantage of those isolation opportunities. I mean, Jared Allen, who you normally feel pretty comfortable with switching on to anybody, Tyrese Halliburton scored more on him in isolation than he has any player this season in that first game. And so I thought there was just some opportunities created by defensive choices from Cleveland that Indiana was able to take advantage of. And then they also shot the lights out from three, and Cleveland missed their threes, right? Donovan Mitchell goes 1 of 11. Max Strus goes 2 of 8. Cleveland goes 9 for 38, and Indiana goes 19 for 36. Rarely is there a game in the NBA nowadays where you're going to win a game where one team shoots that much better from three.
Ryan Rucco, join us on the hotline. He'll have the call tomorrow night in Indy. By the way, how annoying is the revving of the Indy car sound that they play perpetually throughout the game?
I didn't know they did
that. You know what? I think at this point I'm immune to all extraneous arena noise, so it won't get under my skin like it otherwise would.
Do you have reverence for Red Panda the way that we do, or are you just too busy getting ready for the second half?
You know, I have reverence for Red Panda. I have ultimate respect for Red Panda. I don't do a good enough job of enjoying Red Panda
yeah,
because, you know, to your point, it's not just getting ready for this.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Second half, it's going to the bathroom as well. You know, like I don't want to go to the bathroom during Red Panda, but if I don't go to the bathroom at halftime, when can I go to the bathroom, guys? You know,
can't.
So I can't. So unfortunately, I only catch snippets of Red Panda's glory.
Ryan, we had a guy here who once he told the story on the air. He actually used the bathroom. And he was calling baseball, and he was in the press box bathroom, and he actually had the microphone on the radio, was looking out the door as he was doing the game. I don't think you could try to do the same thing, but who knows? I mean, maybe one day.
You know, you never know what's going to happen when you combine a lot of water and on-court entertainment with a microphone.
That's true.
Ryan, I heard Red Panda does not get out of bed for less than 50K.
That's not true.
And I heard her servant boys that catch the plates for her or start the entire process, they don't get out of bed for less than a grand.
No, it's okay.
Well, good. They should. I mean, supply and demand. There's only, you know, one Red Panda. She's a big halftime act. I hope that's what she's getting per pop.
Have you heard anything, Ryan, about the status of Evan Mobley, and if we do get him back, what type of Evan Mobley are we going to get?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet. I'm sure we're going to hear more as the day goes on. You know, what I think you'll get is, you know, what you've had. And I know in the first game, you know, the on-court numbers, you know, were not good with Mobley and Allen against Indiana. But this year, obviously, what was historically a problem was not the same problem this year, right? And Evan Mobley showed a level of, we saw it in certain games in the first round, too. He performed with a level of aggression and conviction, especially on the offensive end, that we had not seen before. He also was intentionally empowered by his teammates in a way that he had not been previously. And so I think it's obviously very significant getting him back, in addition to him being the defensive player of the year. I also think if I was a Cavs fan, that would be kind of what I would be hanging my hat on right now, to just try and, if I was trying to mentally turn this, right? Because the reality is, rarely in a close series does the team who loses a game the way the Cavs lost game two go on to win the series, right? Like, if you just look at different NBA playoff series throughout NBA history, usually the team who blows a game the way the Cavs did in game two does not go on to win the series when it is an evenly matched series or a closely matched series, which I think obviously this one is certainly more closely matched than most people were anticipating. However, what I would hang my hat on if I was a Cavs fan is they really do have a much different looking team that could be available to them in the rest of the series, depending on the status of Mobley, Hunter, and Garland. You know, if you're not going to get those three guys back, you're not going to come back from this 2-0 hole. Let me be very clear. It's not going to happen. You might win a game, you might win two. You're not winning four of the next five if you do not get those three guys back. If you get two of the three, maybe, you have that possibility. But I do think, unfortunately, the injury status of those guys really is as big a factor in this series as you would fear it would be.
All right, Ryan, this show does not like to play the victim. We've always really thought of ourselves as a pull ourselves up by the bootstrap type of a show. With that said, 2-Minute Report came out yesterday and basically said the Cavs should have won the game. How much of a controversy is that to you? Are people talking about lane violations around the league? Will it even make the broadcast coming up on Friday night?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll definitely mention the lane violations because I think, you know, if you're going to look at what was the play that, you know, the momentum play that really sparked that rally at the end of the game, it was the Nesmith putback, right? So, which should have never happened. And quite frankly, as it happened, I said, well, that's a lane violation, you know, and I know they were, talking about whether or not it was offensive interference, but one thing that needed to be mentioned is, you can review in that moment for offensive interference, but you cannot then change it to a lane violation, you know? And so unfortunately, even as the officials were looking at the monitor there to see if it was a goaltend, which it wasn't, they weren't able to adjudicate anything on the legality of it being a lane violation. And it was, and I thought it pretty clearly was when it happened. The Halliburton one, not as much, and I know that was as well, but the Nesmith one I thought was an obvious lane violation, and it's a huge miscall. You know, we can't act like it didn't play a role in the end of the game. Of course it played a role in the end of the game. Having said that, you still had a very comfortable lead, so to speak, late in that game. That is not the only thing that went wrong, right? You know, that didn't force Cleveland to not be able to inbound the ball at all, you know, in those final moments, to have to burn timeouts in those final moments because of their inbounding struggles. No, it didn't have anything to do with Donovan Mitchell's offensive foul or some of the turnovers earlier in the quarter that helped spark Indiana even getting to within striking distance. I know it felt like it was finally over when Strus hit that three to go up by seven, but the reality is, you know, the game felt like it was over a quarter and a half before that, and Cleveland made a lot of mistakes early in that fourth quarter to allow Indiana within that 7, 8, 9 point striking distance. So I think you can definitely be upset about those missed calls. They were incorrect. They played a role. There's no way around that. But you also have to be real about what happened and where the momentum was at that moment in the game because of the plethora of mistakes that happened going into it. And we heard Kenny Atkinson say his one regret was not playing more guys because he felt like they ran out of gas. And I do think there's a philosophical conversation here, and I don't think there's a right or a wrong, guys, at least that I feel conviction in, but there's a philosophical conversation here when you see what a team like the Knicks has done even at the end of these games against the Celtics, right, versus a team whose players have played basically 30 minutes a game all year and then all of a sudden are being asked to play 45. Like, can you still perform? Are you built up for that? And that's a real debate within different performance teams throughout this league, is what is better for you to be able to perform in those playoff moments when the minutes go up? Is it having more reps in the regular season where your minutes are higher, but then you're risking being burned out in a regular season? Or is it, you know, getting rest, but then maybe you don't have that reservoir of energy to go to in those moments when you do need them? And so I think, you know, depending on how the rest of this series plays out, that might be a question that Cleveland's asking itself at the end of this year, because in that game, clearly they ran out of gas. There were mitigating circumstances. They had three essential players hurt, and that obviously dramatically changes the rotation. But I also think that's an interesting little, you know, kind of macro picture to dive into, depending on how the rest of these playoffs play out.
Ryan, you've also been the voice of the Women's National Championship in basketball, the WNBA. Is Caitlin Clark one of the top three most famous basketball players you've ever covered?
No question. No, well, I've ever covered? Yeah, I think she still is. Today, there is no doubt today that the three most famous basketball players currently playing are LeBron, Steph, and Caitlin. There's no question. In my life, you know, I did get to do some Kobe games. So, you know, Kobe would be obviously in there as well. Probably some others that I'm not thinking of. But, yeah, her fame is crazy, guys. I was in Iowa doing that game last week, and the atmosphere in Iowa was ridiculous for her return for that preseason game. There were fans tailgating 4 hours before the game started. The game sold out in less than 25 minutes. The average ticket price then was $670.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
First by game time.
Wait, preseason game?
Wow.
Preseason game.
Wow.
See, it is almost impossible to contextualize her metric impact when it comes to team sports, because really the only thing that I think is a fair comp when it comes to her outsized impact on ratings and all, you know, aspects of commerce is Tiger Woods. I really think that's the, when you look at Tiger Woods and his effect on golf, I think that's the equivalent of Caitlin Clark's effect on women's basketball. And even just, you know, the other game, like this preseason game, it's unbelievable how many people in my life are reaching out to me afterwards. Oh my gosh, that 36 footer she hit. She plays a completely different way than anybody we have ever seen in the history of the women's game. And it's a very exciting, electrifying style.
We thank you very much, Ryan. I totally agree with you. I think that's the perfect example. Perfect example, yeah, with Caitlin Clark and Tiger Woods. We hope you have a great call. Have a great playoffs. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, I just want to give Cleveland fans one little bit of hope, okay? You win. If you win tomorrow, you get a good night of sleep, right? Like, all it takes is one win to change the way you feel. That's the crazy thing about the playoffs. It can feel over one night, and it can feel totally rejuvenated the next. So that's, you know, that's how quick it can turn.
I'll be passing out either way. Ryan, thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. See ya.
Ryan Rucco, ESPN, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Excellent stuff from him. I love the comparison to Tiger Woods. I think it's absolutely true, especially when you're talking about the WNBA. getting new teams. I might have found a perfect Mother's Day gift for Liz.
Well, people run out of time, so you have to think about these things.
Well, we don't do, like, holidays, birthdays. Like, I do not celebrate my birthday at home or anything. Like, we don't buy each other gifts for stuff. Christmas, no. Which is a nice thing, trust me. I think I want to get her something for Mother's Day. I swear to God. This is going to sound like a ad. It's not. Something about somebody had tweeted us about the dog pound. It's like, it's only for poodles now. Like, it was like this thing. And I go, I thought about my Jenny, who's a mini toy poodle that I got for Liz for her birthday. Cause she was just like begging for another dog, even though we still had Sam, he was still alive. And she's going, they'll be friends. And I go, okay, you're just sending Sam to an early grave, but fine, whatever. And I got Sam for her birthday. So I decided to get Jenny for her birthday. And the next dog will be for her birthday. And I went, oh, I should get into the Barking Backers thing and get Jenny in the Barking Backers.
Okay, I've heard about this.
Okay.
What does it entail?
I had no idea how much it was. I mean, I've done like the fan club for dogs. Check them out. Barking Backers. I've done that. But you can get a free membership. I can do it for free, but it is supposed to be, if I'm thinking about it, it's a Mother's Day gift, right? So the annual membership, which is premium, it says, $30. Includes free shipping. It's $30 annually.
They'll ship you another dog every month?
No.
Oh.
Annually. So I get a new dog every year? No. It says premium membership kit includes collectible dog tag. That's it.
She's going to love that.
That's it.
Yes.
Bucket hat, bow tie. Liz, will you know what herself if that thing comes? I got to do it.
Is the bucket hat for you, for Liz, or for the dog?
It's got to be for the dog. It might. What if the bucket hat was for me and I'm supposed to walk around shirtless? Or the bow tie was for me and I'm supposed to walk around shirtless, but the bucket hat is for Jenny. Treats, pet supplies plus lick mat. I don't know what that is, but I'm interested. They also have a turf and tails event, and I looked that up, and it's the dogs running around through, like, toys and stuff.
Oh, my
on
God.
On the football field.
Oh, yes.
It's got to happen.
Yes.
I saw the pictures. I got to do it. Is that an acceptable Mother's Day gift?
Okay.
We don't really do gifts.
I know what some people are going to say, Ken. That's a gift for the dog, not for the mother.
No, this, my wife.
She will derive a ton of joy out of that.
Everything, the dog cannot be put down. Liz has to carry this damn dog. The dog must be held at all times, whether it's me or Liz, the dog must be held. She loves this dog, and the dog's a great dog. It takes a dump in my closet every morning, but the dog's a good dog. She will not go outside when the weather's bad. She's too small. She's too dainty.
Oh, no.
Like Sam, Sam was a big black lab mix. It was like, get your fat ass out there, Sam, and take a dump on the front lawn. Like, that's the way it was then.
That sounds like Ken. I mean, this is a good gift. Another gift could be some dog training. I don't know, maybe. Still pooping every day.
That's like $3,000.
It ain't cheap.
I paid for that.
It ain't cheap.
I bought her the damn dog. I ain't get the dog training. I don't know how to train the dog other than to go, no. No.
Strongly worded.
Yes.
Chastising.
Yes.
I'm seeing it right now on the website. This looks like a very, very good gift. Now, is that enough? Is that going to be enough?
That's going to be enough.
That's it?
That's going to be enough.
No spa day, no flowers.
No, hell with that. No. 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 We're done with that. I'm writing it in the book. I'm going to buy it later. Happy Mother's
Meredith,
Day.
Meredith, does that sound good enough?
I mean, if you don't normally get presents and you get this for her, it's like it exceeds expectations, so I don't see why not.
Bet your ass it does. There you go.
That's, you know what? That is what counts. Exceeding expectations. She has a very low bar right now for that.
So the bar is no gifts. So if you get her the Barking Backers membership.
In the morning, she's going to wake up. She's going to have a Barking Backers membership. And then later on Sunday night, she is going to have the sex of her life. Huh? So she didn't have to worry about anything.
And then she'll go to
be a great Mother's Day.
And then she'll go to the closet for pajamas and see a big dump on the ground.
Well, I mean, Ginny is about to fight Mike Tyson. So... Do we have time for Dolly in Cleveland? Hello, Dolly.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing wonderful. Go right on ahead.
Okay. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. First of all, they pulled me back in again.
Who did?
Cleveland Sports.
Oh, okay.
I promised I wasn't going to do this again, but here I am again. Just when I think I got out, they pulled me back in.
They did.
In the meantime, Mitchell paid with a bad cast.
Donovan Mitchell's playing with a bad cast?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
I went, had a sprained toe with a cut on it, wrapped it up, put 4-inch heels on, and went dancing. So Garland needs to suck it up, wrap up that foot, and get out there on that
Where field. Were you dancing?
And what kind of dancing?
I went salsa dancing on West 25th, which, I like I told him yesterday, was worse than having guys trying to box me in.
When was this that this happened? When?
Oh, it was years and years ago.
So you were able to suck it up and go salsa dancing on West 25th?
Yes, I was.
And
yes,
so he
I was.
Should be able to play in a basketball game?
Yes, correct.
Did okay. you have to wear a special number to go along with that salsa dancing?
Come on. He was on a treadmill yesterday, right?
Practicing. Was it a contest that you were salsa dancing in, or was it just your normal salsa dancing?
It's my normal salsa dancing, and I'm sure I was probably drunk, too, so...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
worse.
Now, wait a minute. Now, he's not allowed to go play drunk.
Was it co-ed?
He's not Ron Artest.
Yes, it was co-ed.
Yeah.
Of course it was co-ed. Have you ever been in one of those contests that they show in movies where you have to dance until, like, the last person drops?
No. Oh. No, that I couldn't do. That's too much. That's crazy. I would have been out the first round.
But you got to want it, Dolly. You got to want it.
Yeah.
Dolly's cutting a rug.
Really.
All right,
but
Dolly.
Come on.
Well, I'll tell them. I'll get it over there to them. I mean, Lima's part of the pregame and postgame, so I'm sure he's going to bring up your anecdote, Dolly. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who joined us.
We have a lot of dancers that listen to the show, normally the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Because they haven't gone to bed yet.
I don't know. Brook Park Road ain't what it used to be. A lot of things got to go away as we build stadiums and stuff.
I thought they were going to make Brook Park Road great again.